Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We are talking with Lauren Hibbs back in Wichita. He is the Assistant Athletic Director for Baseball Operations and Player Development. Returned to Wichita State after coaching at Charlotte. Started in mid-June. Give you a little background on Lauren. He played outfield for Wichita State from 82 to 84. He was an assistant coach for the Shockers from 85 to 92. And then went to Charlotte, where he coached until 2019, 7 conference titles, 5 NCAA berths with the 49ers. So he would have played in the College World Series for the Shockers in 1982. He then coached the Shockers in the College World Series in 1988, 89, 91, 92. Scored an NCAA record 125 runs in 1982. So your speed and base running was responsible for Phil Stevenson and Russ Moorman racking up all those RBIs. Is that the best way to explain things, Lauren?
That is. And I was a really good player on a great team with some great teammates. And that was about 50 pounds ago, so my wife can really cook and I really like to eat, so I don't think I could run that way now, but all positive. It's been great to reconnect with a lot of people, you know, in the short time I've been back in Wichita, so all good.
Yeah, that has to be a fun part of it. All right, let's get started with the obvious questions. Tell us about coming back to Wichita State. Why was this the right move for you?
Great opportunity. You know, Eric, I've known Eric since he was 17 years old, was involved in recruiting him here to Wichita State, obviously involved in coaching him, stayed in contact with him over the years, you know, when he was playing in the big leagues and then when he started managing the minor leagues and all the way through, you know, his 10-year major league career. So kept that relationship positive. When he decided he wanted to come back here and coach as the head coach, the conversations continued and we just got to a point where it kind of made sense for me to maybe come back and help him, you know, kind of get this thing going back in the right direction. So when that opportunity presented itself, you know, I went to our administration, to Mike Hill, the athletic director at Charlotte, and had a conversation with him because I was still planning on coaching there for several more years. And I was able to actually retire from the UNC system there in Charlotte and then had about 3 days of retirement and then came out here and started working another full-time job. So it just fell into place the right way. My kids are all older. They're, you know, working in Charlotte. Our youngest just finished her freshman year at the University of Florida, so she's in Gainesville 11 months out of the year. And then my wife can retire as well. So everything just kind of fell into place. The timing was perfect. And again, to have the opportunity to come back to my school, to Wichita State, and to help Eric with this program was just really a dream come true and an opportunity I just couldn't pass up.
And you are from Wellington. Yeah. Still have some family in the area, correct?
My mother still lives in Wellington part of the year. The other half she lives in Texas. She's retired. My brother's a high school football coach in this area, has been for, you know, over 20 years. And everybody's excited, you know. My two oldest kids, Tyson and Aaron, are both really excited. They live in Charlotte. They're excited that Dad has the opportunity to come back to Wichita State. My daughter, my youngest, is excited, and Lisa, my wife, is really fired up about getting a chance to get back, you know, here and live here and see what we can do with the program.
Baseball operations and player development, what's that mean? How do you describe
That's
your role
a big
on
title.
The staff? It is a big title.
You know, I think the initial part of it is just to help Eric with the transition from professional baseball to college baseball. He's going to be a quick learner. We already found that out in the few weeks that we've worked together. So that's going to be a huge positive. But just all the rules that there are at this level, the different practice time limits, the recruiting, all those things that I've been doing for 35 years now and 27 as a head coach, I think can really help, you know, get us off and heading in the right direction. And then moving forward, it's just, you know, trying to, you know, attack the things every day that we need to run the program at a high level. And Eric talks a lot about the standard and raising the standard around here, and whether it be with facilities, whether it be with practice plan, whether it be with recruiting, whether it be with scheduling, anything that we're going to do, we're going to do it at the absolute highest standard that we can. And he set that tone from day one with our coaching staff. He's a tremendous leader. I know you've been around him some. I've been around him a lot. he just has everything that you would want in a great leader in terms of the skill set and the traits that are required. So excited to work with him, excited to work with, you know, Mike Sirianni and Mike Pelfrey, the other two coaches on our coaching staff, and all the support staff's been fantastic, and we're going to do things at a high level.
You know, recruiting never stops. Summer is obviously a busy time for baseball recruiting. Is that an area where you were maybe particularly helpful or needed to kind of get things up and running this summer?
Well, worked really closely with Mike Sirianni, who's our recruiting coordinator, and Mike's a guy that's very familiar with things in the Midwest, and he has a lot of ties in the Midwest. And him and I have worked every day together, along with Eric and with Mike Pelfrey, just to try to put together a good plan. Try to figure out what our needs are, what we want to try to recruit. We're not going to over-recruit. We're not going to sign 25, 30 guys every signing period. We're going to try to focus in on the guys that we want and the guys that we need to fill the holes that we have. You know, the most difficult thing in this whole process is Eric and I have never seen anybody play on the Wichita State roster. So it's hard to know what we need if we haven't seen our own players play. And that's been a little frustrating. Pelfrey has. He's seen him play, you know, some. Obviously, he was here, you know, in January and been with the program for, you know, for one spring. But Eric and myself and Mike Sirianni, we've really never seen these kids play. So that's been a challenge. It's something that we're going to address the best we can moving forward the rest of the recruiting cycle here this summer. And then going to probably start fall practice a little bit earlier than normal. We're going to start right that first week when the kids get back, just so we can get a feel for what we have on our roster, and that'll help us, you know, with this year's team. It'll help us with recruiting moving forward.
Seeing which current Wichita State players see, how much of that can you tackle through video, and how much of it is just when we get, you know, we'll get time later in the summer to do more of
all
that?
The above. And I watched, you know, summer league game last night here at X Stadium to just get a feel for a couple of guys that were playing in a summer league game. So I think we'll know more, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks into fall practice than we do right now. We're trying to gather up as much information as we can and make the best educated decisions that we can with recruiting. But again, we're not going to be like a lot of people are now. We're not going to sign and commit 20, 25, 26, 27 guys and then end up cutting guys before they even sign a letter of intent. We're going to do it the right way. Eric's committed to that. We're all committed to doing it that way. And I think that that's going to be positive moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that the oversigning thing is something that's certainly changed over your years as a coach. And even as I was covering it for the Wichita Eagle and being around it at Wichita State, when did that start to change, and what are the, you know, why choose the direction that Wichita State is choosing?
Well, I call it the SEC model. I mean, the SEC started doing it many years ago, and I'm not going to name any schools, but it was really prevalent in the Southeast. We dealt with it for 27 years recruiting the Southeast. You know, it just gives you a greater margin for error because you get more kids committed, verbally committed, you know, over the summer, over the early fall. And then once the signing period comes in November, there's a lot of phone calls made to kids saying, hey, I know you committed to us, but we don't have a place for you anymore. So it kind of leaves the kids hanging. So and then if they do sign with you in November, then there's a lot of stuff done on the back end, you know, around the draft in June. And, you know, when the kids are supposed to be coming to school in August, they're told that they're not going to be welcomed there. They're not going to have a place for them, and kind of try to filter them to junior colleges or give them outright release. So there's a lot of that happens. And the reason is because it gives the coaches at those schools, it gives them a greater margin for error. You know, you get more guys committed, and then you kind of try to, you know, figure out, I guess, who they want and who they don't want. Obviously, we're going to figure out who we want, recruit based to our needs, and do everything that we can to treat the kids the right way, be upfront, be honest with them, and again, try to do as good a job as we can, not over-recruiting and overspending, so to speak.
College baseball has changed a lot over your time as an assistant and a head coach. What jumps out at you? What have been some of the biggest changes you've been a part of?
Well, the first thing, and you know, I've talked to Eric about this quite a bit because he's been in, you know, in pro ball for 30 years, but just the kids are more physical now. I mean, it's just they're bigger, they're stronger. I think that their baseball skill set is a little bit more advanced now at a younger age than it was way back when I was playing in the early 80s, or even when Eric was playing, you know, in the late 80s. So that has changed. I don't know that they're better baseball players in the long run, you know, but I think that they're better baseball players, at least from a hitting and throwing and pitching standpoint, you know, early on. So we're still going to identify guys that are athletic. You know, we have to have good athletes, whether it be pitchers or position players. And we're going to really value the development process. I think that that's something that's going to separate us from all the other schools in this part of the country is, you know, Eric's background is in development, player development. He's been doing it for his whole life. You know, at Charlotte, that's what we had to do. We had to take guys that were underdeveloped. We had to help them get better. We had to teach them. We had to coach them. So that's going to be a huge part of what we're doing. And then, you know, I've heard Eric say this a lot, and I agree with it 100%. We've got to get guys that are going to compete. You know, the compete factor is huge for us. And that's seeing how they go about their pregame business. That's seeing how they go about, you know, that third or fourth game on a weekend in the travel ball setting where it's hot and other kids maybe are shutting it down and those guys are out there, you know, playing 100%. Those are the kids that we want. Those are the kids we built this program on. It's kind of, you know, the shocker mentality, we like to call it. So, you know, just identifying guys that have the skill set that we want, trying to get guys that fit what we're trying to do, you know, both on and off the field here in Wichita.
You mentioned that you coached Eric Wedge on the 1989 team, the College World Series championship team. Tell us a little bit about that. What was he like as an athlete?
Same as what he is right now, you know, just full go every day. Really an athletic guy for a catcher, could swing the bat speed, defensive skill set. Was a little bit behind. He had to work on it, but he did from day one. Tremendous leadership skills. Guys respected him and respected how he went about his business. It's the same thing that we see every day when we come in the office. So that really hasn't changed. You know, a guy that, you know, from a physical standpoint, probably didn't have everything that you would want in terms of catcher defensive ability, you know, from a skill set standpoint, but worked his tail off, you know, to become a major league player. So a third round pick, you know, out of Wichita State, and ended up playing in the big leagues, but his body kind of broke down on him as time went on and ended up getting into managing stuff and just a perfect fit for that role.
This isn't a move that a lot of people make. I think we went back, we're trying to think of guys, Eddie Stanky at South Alabama, Don Kessinger at Mississippi. Where do you see that big league managerial experience translating most and being most helpful to building and winning in college?
Well, I've already seen it, you know, just with the kids and our players here at Wichita State that are here this summer, either playing summer ball or you know, doing rehab for some minor injuries that they have. But just seeing how Eric interacts with the kids already. I mean, he's used to doing it. You know, he's used to dealing with players every day. And I think that's going to be a really positive dynamic for our staff. The one thing that I think that is different for Wichita State versus everybody else in this part of the country and even nationally is we have a guy that's managed for 10 years at the major league level. That sets us apart from everybody else. And when we're talking to recruits and we're talking to other people, if kids really want to play at the major league level, Wichita State's for them was where they need to be because Eric Wedge knows what it takes to play at the major league level. And, you know, with my experience and 35 years doing this and 27 as a head coach and Mike Pelfrey pitching the big leagues for all the years that he did and Mike Sirianni playing in college and being a head coach, you know, at the Division II level, we've got pretty much all the bases covered in terms of staff and what we can do to develop players. So all those things are positive, and we're doing everything we can to promote that every single day with the recruits and the kids in our program.
While you coached Charlotte, you played East Carolina pretty regularly. They're one of the better programs in the, I guess, not just in the American Athletic Conference, one of the better programs nationally, played other American teams. Give us a description. How do you characterize that conference?
Well, we played about 250 games over the years against, you know, Cincinnati, Houston, UConn, USF, East Carolina, Memphis, Tulane. So very familiar with those programs and kind of how they operate. East Carolina was the best team in our league this year. The league's very good. You know, we're just going to have to put a priority, and I think we've already started this. We've got to play better in the league. You know, if you play in the top three or four in the AAC, and you take care of business with your non-conference schedule and record, you're going to be a regional team. And again, that's the goal here. We need to do a better job playing better on the weekends in conference play. It's going to change again a little bit, you know, after this year with UConn exiting the AAC, so it's going to change a little bit, going to give us one more weekend of non-conference play to play with, so to speak, from a scheduling standpoint. But the league is very good, very well coached, a lot of talented kids, and again, we have a priority to do a better job of playing at a higher level in league play.
That leads us into scheduling, which you'll be doing a lot with. What's the thought? What's the philosophy? How do you get started on that part of the job?
Kind of a mess right now. You know, we've been trying to fill in the gaps as best we can, trying to get to 56 games. So anytime you have a transition in coaching staffs, that happens. That's just a given. We're going to probably end up playing Nebraska and Creighton and home and home, and we're going to continue to play Kansas State, Oklahoma State, keep those traditional rivalries alive, so to speak, Oral Roberts. We may look at trying to do some other things, once the Pro Park opens here in Wichita. Our experience in Charlotte led us to be able to play games at BB&T Park, which is the top-rated minor league facility in all of minor league baseball. And we played NC State, Georgia, South Carolina. We played Wake Forest. We played, everybody that we could play, single games downtown there in the midweek. So probably looking to do something like that here in Wichita, and try to, bring in a quality opponent and maybe play one or two games down there every year if we can, and use the same model that we had in Charlotte.
Yeah, interesting, because I know that park is one that the Wichita group has looked at as kind of a inspiration, a blueprint. Did that work well down there?
It worked fantastic. And it was a win-win because it brought additional revenue to the ownership group in Charlotte. Dan Rakowski, Don Beavers, the owner there. And it was positive. I mean, now, we drew over 8,000 people when we played NC State there the first game. So, and our average attendance was, well over 7,000 people that every time we were playing down there that we were drawing that. So they like you a lot more when you're bringing those kind of crowds in. But I think we can do the same thing here in Wichita. We'll determine who we'd like to bring in. It may change every year, bringing a different opponent in. But get a chance to showcase the minor league facility and be in partnership with that ownership group and I think it's going to be a positive deal.
Interesting. I can remember going to Wichita State games played during River Festival down there that drew pretty big crowds.
Well, way back when, you remember, we played down there at Lawrence Dumont when we were doing the construction here at X Stadium. And back in the day, I know when the program was first started and Gene first started it back in the late 70s, I know Southern Cal came in here, Rod Dado came in. I came in and watched that game when I was in high school. And so there's a whole lot of history with that anyway. And I think, once the new downtown pro facility is finished, I think it's just makes sense for us to play at least one game over there, every year and be able to showcase their facility and their program and our program as well.
The Southern Cal series, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think Gene Stevenson would say that was one of those important landmarks early in establishing some credibility and bringing in a big-time opponent. That's a good, that's a good reference. Tell me a little bit about the response from your former Shocker teammates, from your former players here. What's it, has your phone just been filled with text messages over the last month, phone calls, those kind of things?
Yes, and yes. And, it's been really cool to reconnect with everybody and just been really fortunate to play here, to coach here, and then leave here, kind of get a different perspective and then be able to come back. So, I've told every guy, we've got our staff set now and we've got things moving forward, but everybody's important. Everybody that's ever played at Wichita State's important. We're going to rely on a lot of people to help us just kind of navigate through this. And whether you played early on like I did or whether you played just within the last year or two, every guy is important to us. Every guy is going to have, input here. Every guy's going to be welcome here, whether it be a practice or games or whatever. And we're going to need every possible person to help us, you know, pack the stands again, help us with whatever they can in terms of coming to the golf tournament, to just everything. So it's been great to reconnect with everybody.
And that help kind of leads me to the next thing. There's been a lot of changes on campus since you were last here. Most noticeably for baseball would be the strength and conditioning center that's going up near the third base dugout at X Stadium. Why is that kind of facility important to a baseball program?
Well, the indoor obviously is huge, and it's been here for several years. And then having the ability to have our locker room and office complex over there and have it tied directly into the indoor, it's just it's about recruiting, it's about player development, it's about all those things. So, you know, the effort that's been made here by a lot of people to raise money, you know, for that facility, X Stadium speaks for itself. Tyler, you know, Field speaks for itself. I mean, we got a great place to play. We're getting new turf after fall practice is over with this fall, so that'll be good. It's what you need to have in place to be able to recruit, because when these kids are going to other places, they're seeing, you know, the same type of commitment that we have here at Wichita State. So, you know, the weight room is going to be great. The new locker room is going to be great. Offices, training room, all those things are going to be positive. And we're supposed to be in January, so keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully we do get in there, you know, before our season starts, and get it, you know, get it moving in the right direction.
How will it compare to the locker room you dressed in before your games in
1982? Well, that was the parking lot. I saw a deal where some guys that I played with in the early 80s were sending out, you know, tweets and stuff about, hey, this locker room is going to be a little bit nicer than the parking lot that we dressed in. So, you know, when I was here previously, you know, we had everything on the third base side as well. Right. Our old office complex was over there, and the building that we're sitting in right now was just being built when I left. So kind of weird going to be here for about 3 or 4 or 5 months and then transition back over to the third base side. But, you know, there's just a lot of guys that just sacrificed a lot over the years to make this program a great program. And everybody's proud of that, whether it be Eric, myself, you know, Mike, or any Phil Stevenson or Jimmy Thomas or, you know, Russ Moorman or, you know, Eric Sonberg or any of the guys that, you know, have played here the last 5, 10, 15 years. So, you know, the Kevin Hoopers, the Mark Staniffords, the P.J. Forbeses, all those guys, everybody, you know, has played a huge role in building a great program here, and we're going to do things at the absolute highest level we can do them at.
All right. Lauren, thank you very much for your time. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. We appreciate you listening. Thanks very much.